拜一拜。
谢谢牧师。
Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwarah, Guru Sakshat Parabrahmam, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwarah, Guru Sakshat Parabrahmam, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Dhyanamulam Gurumurti, Pujamulam Gurupadam, Mantramulam Guruvakyam, Mokshamulam Gurukrupa, Guru Brahma, Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwarah, Guru Sakshat Parabrahmam, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Om Shri Nama Paramatmane Namah.
Thank you, Grishma. Om Sri Nanda Paramatmane Namaha. It's so good to have you here, Shranti. I mean, it's so good to connect to you in India. We thought we will do your satsang from the US. it happened that you had to come here to take care of your mother, kada bound. It's nice, very nice. So it's so good to connect to you because we've done in Telugu before, but it would be wonderful to do it in English because it'll be for a greater audience.
Our first satsang started with Kanti.
And I think we were the first experimental stage of our satsang. And also, it was only an audience, a Telugu audience. But I think you're such a sweetheart. It will be nice to, you know, like share your experience in English so that more audience can, you know, like enjoy the session and know about Nangaru, about how devotees had a connection with Nangaru and how his speech inspired all of us and how we are able to live happily in spite of all the ups and downs in life and all that. Yeah. So Kranti, I think you should start now. Om Shri Nanda Paramatmane Namaha.
Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Om Shri Nanda Paramatmane Namaha. Om Namo Shri Bhagavate Ramanaya. It's a pleasure to talk about Nanagaru, how he entered in my life and how he is still driving my life. You know, it's so amazing after he entered in my life. To tell my journey with Nanagaru, I have to say it has two parts. One, Nanagaru, when Nanagaru is with his body. And second part, after he left his body. Those two are important so much because he's still been showering grace on me. Still today, every moment of it, with body, without body, the same. So my mother used to go to satsangs. Nanagaru satsangs, there used to be auntie at my home nearby in my town where my mom used to go to satsangs, and I'm a 15 or 14 year old kid and I don't know much. Sometimes when Nanagaru used to go from Junnuru to Vishakhapatnam, he used to come to train station. So that's when we used to go and we used to give fruits and do namaskar and used to come. Maybe in a couple of times I went and I gave fruits and all that. But I'd never had an interaction with Nanakaru, but I always used to, you know, my mom used to go, so I used to follow, and not much devotion or anything, but, you know, just like any god, you know, go offer fruits and come back.
Yeah. Pray,
so,
pay
the respect and go. So, because, you know, he has to choose, he has chosen to enter, and, you know, he should decide the timing when it is. So, after I joined engineering, my father passed away. After 2 months I joined engineering, my father passed away, and my mother went to Hyderabad, you know, where I was doing my engineering, and one day, we are coming back from Hyderabad to Samalkot, and we booked our reservation, we entered our compartment, and we sat, and to our surprise, our opposite seat is Nanakaru.
Okay.
So he was also traveling to Palakkollu, I think. So we were so happy and joyous. We're so happy and joyous to see. And that day, you know, there were devotees. Nana was talking to everyone, and after the time has moved. So that's when he chose to enter into our lives. I have to say my life. Because that day he spent 1.5 hours talking everything about me, inquiring all aspects of my life. And, you know, this is also Nana, in this case also last time he, you know, reminded that, you know, our introduction is in the train. So he remembered himself that, you know, we train and all that. So thereafter, I used to frequently call Nanagaru, talk to him, you know, just like that. There's nothing to talk, but, you know, it gives me happiness to just call, and Nanagaru would ask me all the questions, any questions that are there or anything, and then I used to hang up. So, but it used to give me strength that he's there in my life to take care of anything. And he literally took my father's role, I have to say. You know, that's how I used to feel that. He's there to take care of anything for me.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where you were connected deeply at the level of father,
yes.
No? Like, he was replacing the role of your father for you. Yeah, yeah. So it was more an intimate connection.
That's how it started. This that happened in the journey. So after that, I used to call and talk. And after a few years, you know, I went to United States. I came to US. You know, started working. I used to still call every time I called. I used to say, keep calling. One day I called. I didn't know that was September 23rd. This is in Hyderabad when I was there. I did not know. I called. That's in the evening, 7 o'clock. I called and Nanagaru talked, and I happily, you know, put down the phone without knowing that it is his birthday also. So then I realized later, you know, in that such a busy day also, he took time to attend. How much love, you know, how he, every step of it, he imparted love in us, you know, by his actions.
Mm-hmm.
After that, my marriage got settled. And I called Nanagaru saying, you know, whatever day works for you, that is the day I want to put my marriage date. So you tell me which day. And I gave 3 dates, whatever, you know, that given, Puja Aris has given. So Nanagaru chose September 1st.
Nice.
Bhagavan's arrival to Arunachalam. Tiruvannamalai. So that's the day he took, and that day he has come for my, when they made me bride, that and in the morning he has come,
function,
and the marriage time also.
The bride ceremony.
He said, my marriage is so important that come.
Is there a lag in voice, Grishma? Is it fine?
Come.
Yeah, there is a lag. Better to switch to audio, Devi. Yeah.
Shall we try audio, Kranti?
Shall
because I think.
Try?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's fine, actually.
How about now?
Yeah.
How about now? Is it better?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay. All right.
Very good, Devi. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go for audio. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, he has come for my marriage. The reason I'm mentioning that is it is so important for me that Nanagaru should come for my marriage because I treated him like, you know, I father. So, even if all the guests I have invited have come and that Nanagaru have not come, I would have not been happy. And the other way around, you know, if Nanagaru has come and everyone has not has come also, I would have been happy that much. So that day, it was a big rain pouring and Nanagaru, I mean, whoever at the house Nanagaru was staying, they was telling that, you know, it's such a big rain and it's middle of the night, like 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. They said, you know, it's too much rain, should we go? Then Nanagaru, like, hurried them up saying, you know, we are missing the time, auspicious time that they have set up. We have to go fast. So I was so happy to see him because he only knows our hearts, right? How, people,
and how intensely
what we
you
want.
Wanted to, what, yeah, how intensely you wanted his presence in your marriage. Yeah.
Yes, so much. So not only after that, I've come to US. Every step of it, once Nanagaru entered into my life, he took care of anything that I ever.
Hello, disconnect ayinattundi.
Hello, Kandi akka.
She got disconnected, Krishna?
Yeah, Divya, I'm calling her.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Haka? Shaka?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what I was telling is every step of my life, he always used to take care of anything that I might need in life or I might land into any trouble or anything. Just like how a mother and father would take care of it, he used to be 4 steps ahead of it and used to take care of it. Not only then, now also anything that might come, he always takes care of it even before, you know, I could think about it. That's how much like a mother and father, anything, not only, you know, the physical world things, but, you know, spiritually also he had bestowed me with so much after he left his body. He prepared me for that, and after that, you know, slowly one by one taking away all the vasanas or, you know, whatever entanglements that, you know, I have in life, is liberating, you know, through all those. I'll touch on those points.
Sure.
So after my marriage, you know, life was happy. I mean, it's been always happy, but, you know, too much busy with married life and all that. And, you know, then kids have come. So there are, you know, 2-3 years, couple of years break where I was very infrequently talking to Nanagaru and, you know, not too much. So after my, you know, kids were born, my son had some health problems, so sometimes I used to think a lot about it. I never told Nanagaru any of this, but I used to be lost in thoughts and all. But once my mom told, why don't you call and tell Nanagaru? So once I called Nanagaru and told, then he's like, I will come onto a Skype call and I want to see your son. So that day I was able to see Nanagaru, and Nanagaru was able to see us and my son and all that. My son is all good now, but you know what he has done on that day is he gave me the strength to handle the situation. The situation has not changed overnight, and it's nothing serious too, but whatever the worry I had, he gave me the strength. And my son started, you know, getting better slowly, and now he's all right. But throughout the process, what he did for me is took out the worry that I have for my kids. Now, not only that, I thought that, you know, he would make, you know, whatever my son is going through, he would make it better. But he also did an operation for me to take the worry that I have on kids. Till to date, anything that kids have, I don't get worried so much. And I say that you are there. I mean, this is so important, because once you have kids and all that, every small thing that happens to them looks like a big deal.
Yeah.
That one thing he took away from me that day.
Yes.
It gave me the confidence that I'm there to take care of everything. And anytime anything comes up, small or big or whatever, he gave me the strength to leave it to him from that time. So that has happened. And after that, I used to regularly, sometimes, I mean, once in a year or once in 2 years, at least I used to come. And whenever I come, I used to go and meet Nanagaru and all that. That has happened. And I used to listen to Nanagaru Upanyas discourses. And he used to ask me anytime I call, he used to ask those, and I used to say I'm listening and all that. But none of that, I mean, one thing for sure is I have at most respect for him, and I love Nanagaru so much. Those are the only two things, and nothing ever used to matter to me. Like, I used to listen to the discourses, but never, you know, most of it never got into the brain. And, you know, if it got, also the only thing is Guru and the devotion, bhakti towards Guru, devotion towards Guru. So Nanagaru used to touch so many topics, but everything used to fly except that the faith that you have towards Guru and the devotion that you have towards Guru. These are the only things that used to stick in my mind whenever I used to listen to discourses and all that. So after that, I think in 2016, we have come for Guru Purnima at that time. So I got a chance, you know, I came for planning that I will stay for 2 days. I came, and it was a memorable, wonderful trip. So I stayed for 2 days, and I said that I'll be leaving the next day after Guru Purnima, Nanagaru said, you know, stay for 3 more days. You don't have any busy work and all that. At the time, I didn't know that that's the last time I get to see him very actively. He insisted
for communication. That was the last time he, you know, like really communicated. Yes.
He spent totally that 5 days working on me intensely, that 5 days. So at the time, I've told that, you know, in married life, there will be some small disturbances in everyone will have, right? I used to talk to Nanagaru freely, no matter, I never, you know, cared to talk to Nanagaru, because I always felt he's my father, and I never used to, you know, whatever I had in my mind, without any reservations, I used to tell. So I told, you know, we have some disturbances in family life, and then I'm worried about it, whatnot. I just told. So he listened through all that, and he said, well, these are not big things. It doesn't look like big things to me. And he gave me some suggestions, whatever. But those 5 days, that Guru Purnima speech that we have in 2016, there might be 5,000 people sitting there, but every single word he said is directed towards to me. He made me sit next to him, and every single thing he said, till today, you know, it works on me. And some things that he said is in the assurance, and it's not only to me, every devotee, Nanagaru has done the same thing. And when you are not liberated from the outside bondages and, you know, the worries that you have, then you cannot focus on the inner life. Spirituality. So he addressed those aspects, whatever looked big or, you know, seemed big. He took care of all those. So he told that day one thing. Till today, anytime I am in anything that I can't take further in life, any situation I can't handle, these are the words that comes to my mind. So what he said is that the guru is not the body. Even though when he is with body, guru is not the body. And even when he bestows grace on you, it's not this body that is sending the grace to you. And whatever sends the grace, that doesn't have anything to do with the body.
Yeah,
and whenever you are in domestic troubles or any troubles, pray to God and God will send you grace. You don't even have to pray God. You just, you know, pray to Guru and Guru will send you the grace. That's the assurance he has given me at the time. And till to date, I'll give few examples afterwards. Till to date, he keeps that word, whatever he gave me that day. And in that trip, you know, I used to listen some, you know, Bhagavan stories also there. Like one time Bhagavan is coming from the hill down and someone is smoking a cigar. And someone asked that person to move aside and he did not move. So Bhagavan only moved, you know, took a round and came down. But when he passed that person, he just turned back and looked at that person. And the next day onwards, that person stopped smoking without anyone telling.
Just one glance.
Yes, one glance, he took away that vasana. So we heard those things. So similar type of thing for me. I have a habit where I can't put, you know, I keep forgetting putting lids on food. And that's one thing my husband can't stand it. And we used to have arguments. And, you know, one time I also told, you know, this is the thing that I got when I was born. And, you know, it will only go away when I pass away. So there's nothing much I can do to change it. So that is what I've told. So that day, it's Guru Purnima trip when I went. I was sitting in front of Nanagaru, one of the days. And Nanagaru was talking to someone else. And he brought up this topic. He was not even looking at me. So he brought up this topic with the other person saying that when you eat, when you have food, you have to put lids on the food. And he went on explaining that, you know, why you should put and all that. So I know he was telling me that thing. He did not even look at me once when he is giving this explanation. So what happened after that trip was, till today, 95% of the time, I put lids now.
Don't forget. Yeah.
Don't forget. The 5% I forget. Yes. The 5% I forget, either I remember or if my husband reminds me, I don't get upset or angry because, you know, whatever Nanagaru said comes to my mind at the time. With that one saying, he gave me the strength. And he removed that vasana from me. This is a very small example, but there are a lot of things he has done like that, which are bit like the, you know, the affection, the bondage, you know, that you have with some people, you know, that's hard to get rid of, whatever it is.
Yeah, true.
And it also causes pain, not only pleasure, a lot of pain and some pleasure. So those are the things he worked on me throughout this process. So like that he said, and after that while leaving, he asked me in that trip only, that do you read books? I said, not much. And he was telling some, you know, he was giving a discourse on some book, I think, you know, Shankaracharya book. So he asked me, can you tell? Then I said, no, I can't. Then he told, you know, you should read to understand and then be able to tell others. So I never have a habit of reading any books. So that's another thing he implanted in me. And not only that, he gave me a book. He gave me, you know, Shankaracharya's book at the time. At the time, little did I know that I love Shankaracharya so much. I had no idea at the time. And when Nanagaru was giving that book, I asked, can you write something in it and give it to me so that, you know, I can, you know, keep it forever. Then he's like, no need, you know, why do you need something like that? And he just disregarded that. Mm-hmm. And little did I know that he has put his heart into that book and has given it to me. Because every time I read that book, I feel that Shankaracharya, you know, right next, I'm living that moment with Shankaracharya. And before I just heard Shankaracharya's name, but you know, now I feel that so much love I have towards him that, you know, I feel Nanagaru has incarnated like Shankaracharya. That much. I felt that he only knows what connection I had or whatever in past lives, but you know, Nanagaru gave several people several types of books, and that's how, you know, Guru knows what we want what we had from previous lives. So that all has happened, and I left that year, and that after Guru Purnima. And after that, I think 2016 or 17, I don't remember exactly this, but within 4 months I have come back. I went to U.S. and after 4 months, for some reason, I have come back. And that is when Nanagaru fell sick. That's the December time. So that was an unplanned trip. We came after 4 months, and you know, I got to have a last darshan of Nanagaru at that time.
Yes.
When my father passed away, I did not get a chance to have a last, you know, look at my father, and he passed away. So that I always had as a, you know, thing in my brain. But, you know, that another thing, I would have felt even more bad if I was not able to see Nanagaru. Maybe that's the reason he brought me, you know, during those last days.
Which was actually unplanned, yeah.
Yes, unplanned and all that. So that's all. That happened, and after that I left to US and all that. So this is all, you know, when Nanagaru, you know, is with body, and this is all external life. You know, there is nothing spiritual in it except me, you know, having faith and, you know, love towards Nanagaru and blind, you know, faith on him. All external, anytime I talk, anything external and all that. So that all has happened, and after that, I think after a few months or after a year, these satsangs have started, right? You started these satsangs, Sunday satsangs. So then after three, four weeks of satsang, every week I listen to these satsangs, what people have to say. And then, you know, a sadness started in me. Sadness in the sense that, you know, I missed Nanagaru so much. And Nanagaru has bestowed everyone with so much love, and love in the sense of spiritual side of it. And how did I miss such an important thing in my life? And how can I get that now without his body? So that was the quest, and, you know, sadness. I used to cry, you know, and all that happened for a week or week and a half. after that. One day in the night, I was half asleep, I have to say. And I'm not fully asleep because I woke up after 15, 20 minutes, or I don't even remember how much time I woke up again. So I slept with tears that when will you bestow me, you know, the truth glimpse, because everyone, you know, has that, at least most of them, and I don't know what it is. And I used to cry for that. That day also I slept with crying and talking to Nanagaru photo, and I slept, fell asleep. So that's when in something, you know, in my dream, or I don't know what to call it, but I could see all the people has their bodies, but within, you know, under their bodies is the same light that is functioning. It's the same thing everyone has, except everyone has the, you know, same bodies. Nanagaru anta undevalaga todugulu esukunnaru ani atla, you know, it used to look like, you know, leather coat on top of people like that. And everyone is functioning and everything is working just because of this thing alone, whatever is within them. And it's one and the same in every being that I could see there in that dream. And it's no different, you know, when I see in a dog or a cat or whatever is there, everything has the same thing with a different
form. I mean, you knew with experience that all the beings were run by an energy and the bodies were just like shadows to these energies.
And one thing in the dream only, this thing also has come, that Nanagari used to mention that Jnaneshwar, when he went to railway station, train station once, someone has asked you, who is that other person, to Jnaneshwar. Then Jnaneshwar says, he is father of my body. So whenever I used to listen, I must have listened in some speeches, that thing, and I never used to understand that how can a person say he's father of my body. It never made sense to me. So that night, in the dream, the same thing, the sentence repeated, and it has occurred to me in the dream. And I could feel that's how a person can say, and that's 100% truth. And I woke up from the sleep, whatever I sleep. After that, you know, I used to have a fear. You know, I felt that this body, whatever the body, has nothing to do with whatever is inside it. Not even 1% of it. This body is totally different from what is, you know, holding it totally. And I used to have a fear of body, you know, like the ailments like cancer and all that. That's a nightmare for me, you know, because you have to go through a lot of pain and all that. But when this happened, I felt that what if something like that happens? And then it happens to body and you have nothing to do with that. That's how I felt, you know, for the 2-3 days, that feeling, it was there in me that I could feel that. And one thing, I never used to read Who Am I book, because I could never understand that book. And it never, you know, to be honest, made sense to me. And I always used to say, everyone, mine is Bhakti Margam, devotional path. Vicharana is not my path. So that is what I used to say, and I never get it. But that day after I woke up, that is like 1 o'clock in the midnight, and I read Nenu Evaru, Who Am I book, for 3 times. And every bit of that book, Nanagaru made sense to me. I mean, I could understand every part of it. So from that day, the next 2-3 days also, any thought comes to me, the next thought that comes to my mind is, who is getting this thought? So it changed my life 360 degrees, that moment, because from that time onwards, my perspective towards life has changed totally. Slowly, that dispassion towards things or people or anything, Nanagaru slowly imparted that in my life. every aspect of it after that. So I used to watch movies a lot, like to a point that, you know, my husband puts a movie and he sleeps, but I complete it no matter how much time it is, and I used to then only sleep, like that. And I can never understand, every Saturday, Sunday means movies and all that, but I don't know how he took it out, that he slowly took that habit of out of me. Now I, you know, I don't get a desire to watch, and I feel that reading spiritual books is gives me pleasure, happiness, than watching movies. You know, these are some of the things that hinder us in our spiritual life, which Nannagaru is working one by one, all of these, you know, slowly, and giving the strength to also fight those slowly and not cutting off everything all of a sudden. And one other thing also. And one other thing.
If it is removed forcefully, it's difficult because it bounces back. Only when there is proper understanding and we know that it's an obstacle for our spiritual growth, then he makes us understand it and able to get rid of it easily rather than with difficulty.
Yes, the one thing here is, you know, we do some things. Why we do is, they give us pleasure, happiness, and we think they're so beautiful or whatnot. When you encounter something much more happiness, that gives much more happiness, pleasure, then you can easily drop off the other things.
Correct. I mean, you won't even consider it when you're occupied with something more beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So that is how I was able to drop these things with that experience that he gave me, that's more beautiful than this. There is nothing in it. So that is how he dropped one by one, you know, he's dropping still a lot of things.
Yeah. And it was not just the spiritual speeches or the discourses that he gave, he loved us tremendously. He loved us unconditionally. Yes. And then he showed it through every word and deed of his, right? In his actions, in his gestures, in his talk and all that. And apart from that, not only just showering love, Rakranti, he entertained us also. It was like he was all in one. You know, like he would make us laugh, he would crack jokes. He would make things appear very easy and light. What seemed like a huge burden was instantly taken off with, you know, like in a lighter mode.
Yes.
So he knew, knew how to handle us. It's like, you know, the best teacher or a best mother who can, you know, shower with lot of love and remove you. See, suppose you hit against, suppose when you're a baby, you fall down or you hit yourself, and immediately your mother diverts your attention and shows you something to distract you from the pain. So, and the child instantly forgets. Like that, Nannagaru was always at our backs.
Always at our backs. And he also told this in that Guru Purnima speech that, you know, if you have a mother, what can your mother do? Your mother can give you maybe an acre of land or, you know, some money or something. Who can take away the pain that you have and the sorrow that you have? And who can liberate you from the vasanas that you have? Only Guru can do that. And what he also told, the important thing, anytime I get any pain out of the outside world things, one thing that I can remember he told me, any vasana you have, when it's going out of you, it shows the full strength that it has. At that time, if you shake or, you know, if you stumble with it, then that vasana will repeat again. And Guru is the one that makes sure that you won't stumble and shake with it. And takes you to that stage. And he said that, so if you are going through a lot of suffering, that means something is going out of you. And if you are getting ashanti, perturbed with that, you know, then it will repeat. Don't get perturbed and Guru will help you in not getting perturbed, disturbed, you know, with those things. Anytime I go through any suffering, these are the words that comes into my mind. Like, you know, when, you know, a mother is, you know, leaving us permanently, or a father is leaving us permanently, how they'll say a lot of, you know, few important things that you can remember for throughout your life. That is how he told few of these points. And these words come every time that I get disturbed or anything happens. These words come to my mind, and that gives the peace. And that is what he has done. And a few other things to say is, in once, I mean, how Nanagaru takes away the vasanas. I mean, some vasanas that you have, you don't even know that you have them.
True.
How can you take it out? And, you know, one vasana left also, when you leave, you get a new body.
Yeah, you will require the body because that vasana will want a new form again.
Yes, and some vasanas we don't even realize they're vasanas. We think they're the good things to have. So like that, one of the things I have is, you know, from the childhood, anytime, you know, if something is missing in the house, or if some work doesn't get done, I used to pray to God saying that, okay, if you get this thing done to me, I will donate some money, or I'll do. Or if I can't find something, for example, a monetary value, I used to say, okay, help me find it. And if I find whatever the monetary value of that, I will use it for the good cause. And I used to think that that's a good thing to do. So, all this while. So once, what happened recently was, I could not find some gold in my house, which is worth of some 20 or 25 lakhs or whatever. But, and I can't tell my husband too that I'm not able to find it or misplaced it. So that thing is going inside my mind and brain, but this is after the experience that I had. So this time, he made me realize that, you know, whether I find it is also your grace. Whether I don't find it is also your grace. But give me the strength to not ask anything here and accept what your will is here. That is the prayer he made me do, and that is why this time I did not ask, and he made me realize throughout that process, whatever I have done all those years is a business with him, that, you know, you give me something, I do in exchange something like that.
Whereas,
instead of leaving it to his will, you know, whatever it is, be it, but give me the strength to take, you know, whatever your will it is, as is. So I searched all my house before that for four or five times. I couldn't find it. But that night, one night in the sleep, I woke up at 2 o'clock, and this is the thought that come to me, and I prayed, I do not want that gold, or whoever has it, that's fine, but give me the strength to take whatever your will it is. And the next day morning, for some reason, you know, we used to hold, we have satsangs, Saturday morning satsangs in US. So I was mentioning to my, you know, friends in the satsang, this is what has happened in the night, in, you know, in the dream, that, you know, whatever, this is what Nanagaru, you know, it happened like that. And they said, you know, why don't you search one more time? You know, they gave some suggestions and all that, you know, find a gold detector or whatever. I said to myself that I'll do my duty one more time to find it. But, you know, I don't expect anything. And you made me realize that what I've been doing throughout my life is wrong. And then I went and searched again, the same places wherever I searched, and I could find it. So with that thing, he took in my life that in all the, throughout my life, what I thought is a good thing to do, he took away that from my life, that vasana of it, and made me realize that what I was doing was the wrong thing at the time. And every aspect of life, not only that, Akka, you know, whatever in life, the troubles in the family life, all he, you know, he subsided those things. And, you know, life is not a turmoil anymore, but if there are any things that come also in life, he gives the strength to take care of those things and not sideways, you know, go in the different direction.
It's not escaping it. It's not escaping it.
You're
facing it with a lot of courage and calm.
Strength. He gives throughout that. You know, he gives. And one of the incidents I have is, he told me when I left, you know, anytime you have any trouble, you just pray God. Not only God, just pray Guru. Guru will send the grace for you. So one incident of that is, once I was flying from, you know, in US only, and it's a 6-hour flight, and it's a red-eye flight, overnight flight. So we went 2 hours, and after that, the turbulence has started in the flight. And the turbulence has so bad for 30-40 minutes, everyone was, you know, praying to God and all that. Everyone. And my husband is a person who takes all thrill rides, you know, roller coasters and all that, and I never go in all those.
Yeah.
So he was also scared. So 40 minutes it did not stop. And I was doing, you know, some Jay Mantram or praying that this, and I did not pray Nanagaru. Okay. The other things I was doing. So after 40 minutes, it stopped for 10 minutes and again it started. So this time is like, he made me remind the words he said. Anytime you are in any trouble, just pray Guru, he will send help. So that's what came into my mind. And I started praying him. And in 5 minutes, the turbulence has stopped completely. And everything was normal. And the rest of the flight was fine. And when we came back, my husband was disturbed for 2-3 days. Because, you know, it was near a very bad turbulence. He took away that incident from my brain. And I have a fear for turbulence in flight. So he took away that fear also from me with that incident.
I mean, he put you through it and made you get out of it.
He put me through that and he put me, he made me surrender to him. Yes.
Yeah. It's a very beautiful example where, you know, like, we fear a lot of things in life. Right? For each one, it may be different that we fear certain things. Certain people fear water, certain people fear heights, certain people fear...
Yeah.
I mean, each one has different fears. And then if at all, you know, like you are put through a situation where you are, you know, like protected. And I mean, he shows you that you are protected, that he's with you. And this is not a thing you should fear. So he takes you through it and makes you overcome it.
Exactly. One thing it reminds me is one thing Nanagaru said that, you know, when you have some troubles or when you have something in life, who are you depending on? Is it your mother or is it your father or is
your
it your husband
or your spouse or your children?
Relations,
or your
yes. Or what about the God? So that's what he asks. So that comes to my mind. Anytime anything that is there, the only person that comes to my mind is Nanagaru, because such a faith he has given for me. It's nothing that I have, whatever the love or faith. I used to think that I have so much love and faith.
I mean, with that, I mean, he loved us so unconditionally and guided us all through at every stage and step of life, that whatever comes to your mind, first thought, it's he that comes, because he tuned us to him in such a way that he's the only solace, he's the only support, he's the only strength that you can really take from.
Yes.
Because nothing in the world can, nothing in this world can help you the way His grace helps you.
That is so true.
Nothing in the world can make you internal. Nothing can make you, as you said, like your parents could give you what is required for you. Maybe they can gift you clothes, they can gift you money, they can gift you, I mean, they can give you comfort in life. Your spouse could give you comfort in life. Anything, any relation for that factor.
Yeah.
And friends could make you feel good. All this is fine. It is all external life. But when it comes to the true happiness, true peace, and true love, where you are so complete that you will not want anything else in life, you know, your seeking will stop once you experience Guru's love and Guru's grace in your heart. And he made all of us experience it, Kranti, in a very, very beautiful way.
Yeah.
So it's like
that is true.
Yeah, so it's like if we cling to anything at all here, it's we cling to him, that's all.
Yes, he took first place. I mean, it's not, you know, he only made us do it. It's not that we have given that place to him.
Yeah.
He showed love.
The unconditional love, no? See,
yes.
How did he do it? It's only because of unconditional, nothing else will be yield to. See, the human mind, our psychology is made in such a way that we don't yield to anything but love.
Yes, I can.
So he has given such tremendous love that you have no choice but to, you know, like surrender to him.
That is true, Akka. And anytime if you say something, if you say something bad, at least, you know, mother may scold you saying, why have you done that? Or, you know, yeah, you should have done this. Maybe then mother take a step of helping. But Nannagaru, Guru is not like that. Whenever we say anything, he never even, you know, that scolding or nothing is there. What is the solution? And just help, love, do that. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, he molded us through extreme love.
Yes, extreme love.
You know, generally, you know, like, see, when there's something wrong, or, I mean, like, there is some stubbornness within which they are not able to overcome. At times, punishment is a good thing, actually. At times, even in school, if you are being a bad student, you know, like, teacher will try to put it in a way that the student understands. So, but Nandu was so, so unique and beautiful that he not only did it, he taught that only love can conquer anything. You know, only love can conquer any type of drawback. I mean, any type of drawback, any type of vasana. He showered such extreme love to each individual that only through love we could evolve from all the rubbish inside.
Yes, that is so true, Akka. We could love, he took it.
We could detach ourselves from the world, from the body, from our very own mind, because of his love, unconditional love, and the teaching that he had done in unconditional love, and also showing us the, peace that we achieve once we overcome our weakness or overcome our vasana, the amount of peace, beauty, and love which we can feel in our very own heart. He gave us a taste of the experience also, so that we, you know, like, make more and more effort to purify ourselves and, strive to become more and more peaceful rather than retaining to things that make us sad or that make us worry.
Yeah. That's true. He gave the internal strength mainly to, you know, there are a lot of things that happen in day-to-day life for everyone.
But
the strength he has given, you know, has changed the way we react to things. Anything that comes, you know, where we used to get disturbed before, but he gave a strength now that we can, you know, not get involved so much in that and have the confidence that we have Guru in our life. And whatever happens, you know, that happens at God's will. So anything that happens.
It's for the best benefit of each one of us. I mean, this also, he, as you said, he proves it every moment of our life, especially the way you said, no? See, the life before and the life after. I mean, when he was available to us in the body, guiding us, showering love through his eyes, through his words, through his gestures, through his, actions, it still continues profoundly today and forever, because he was always there, he's everywhere, he's present everywhere, and he's the one within our heart as our true self.
Yeah.
So we are under the best care. We are under the best care where we not only learned to live life, but we learned that this life is to attain the highest and go to a state of no rebirth of the body. Slowly, you know, from a very infant stage where we did not know anything to the stage where we realize all this is but a dream and it's not the reality.
That's 100% true, Akka. When we, yeah. when I met Nanagaru, nothing until, you know, until 2007, that last trip also, 17, last trip yeah. also, it was still, it's all worldly things. There is nothing spiritual yeah. in it, you know, all worldly yeah. things. From that yeah, yeah. stage, he has turned, you know, turned to an extent where, you know, anything that happens, don't move, and it's not, you know, it's not true. And that's yeah, not yeah. the goal of our life. And
yeah, yeah.
He gave that so much dispassion towards things yeah, yeah. in life,
yeah,
which
yeah,
is yeah, needed, yeah. you know, for the spiritual yeah. Progress.
Upliftment. True.
Upliftment. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, in the food aspect, food is a big thing, they say, in life.
I know, it is a huge thing, I know.
yes. And that also...
because tongue, no, Kranti, see, it's like yes. all your five, it's like your mind goes out through the five senses. You know, the yes. vision, the taste, the smell, and your hearing and your touch, right? These are the sensory right. organs. I mean, like, mm-hmm. your sensory thing. And tongue is the most difficult to conquer.
Yes.
Your talk, you need to be, I mean, you need to know what to talk and what not to talk. And you need to talk in such a way that you're not hurting anybody. And the speech mm-hmm. that you make should benefit you as well as people you're talking to. So this is yes. one discipline which is utmost required, because words can really cut through a person. Words can heal a person.
Yes.
So yes, you're using your words wisely, or you're using your words just because you have a tongue and you have freedom to speak whatever you want to. You just can, I mean, you can do a lot of sin with your talking. I mean, most mm. of the sin we mm. accumulate is through talking nonsense or yes. gossiping about somebody. Anytime we yes. we sit, two people sit together, common discussion that comes up is, okay, the idea, you share some brilliant ideas, or, you know, like improving your life or improving your, transforming your way of thinking. We generally tend to talk about another person, which is gossip. And gossip is, I mean, anything that is not beautiful or you're not transforming yourself is, again, distancing you from the truth.
Yeah.
So your tongue is a very, very crucial organ which can uplift you or degrade you to the least, you know, to the lowest level.
True.
And similarly, as you said, food is something which everybody loves, and to control it and to, you know, eat the right sattvic food in limited, I mean, what is required for your body. As Nandar yes. always says, no, like food, your stomach says, I am full, but your tongue says, eat more.
yes. And that's always been a weakness yeah. for me.
Yeah. I think it's for many.
yes. And then another important thing is, when you're doing spiritual sadhana, it's very important that you eat sattvic food, because that's what yes. makes up the mind. The food makes yes. the mind.
True.
And, you know, the mind acts through the senses.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So,
and also, no, it makes you, I mean, if you eat too much, Nandar always used to say, you know, if you eat too much food, the blood supply to your stomach increases and the blood supply to your brain decreases, and you can't think. I mean, like, you make your brain lazy. You make your thinking capacity decrease. So you don't, I mean, you will not be able to discriminate well if you are overfed most of the time. So, and as you said, because that forms the mind, so the type of food you're taking and the amount of food you're taking is very important for a sadhaka, for a truth seeker. Because also, you know, even Bhagavan always said, no, 50% of your sadhana is complete if you have a control over what you're eating and how you're eating.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but food.
Nanakar also said in one of the speeches, that I'm making a promise. I'm not saying these words in general. This is my promise, that if you eat right food, 50% of your sadhana is done.
Yeah.
So, not only saying those, you know, those are so difficult to come across in life.
Yes.
And he is giving strength.
Yeah. Hello? Hello, Grishma?
Slowly working on that aspect too, which is the biggest weakness in life and biggest barrier to the spiritual, you know, progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, mainly. So a lot of things like this, Akka, to say, you know, I mean, one other thing I want to say here is, you know, once I had it, I mean, why I want to tell this is, you know, through that dream, he communicated that I don't have to be in body, or you don't have to tell me what you are going through. I am in your heart, and I can see anything that's going on, and I can take care of you, and words are not needed. You know, I'm telling this because lot of people might be having, you know, a lot of things, and they may feel, and a lot of times, sometimes I felt too that Nanagar is not in body, you know, if he was there in body, and I would have made a phone call and talked to him through, you know, anything that goes through my mind, or, you know, it would have given relief or whatnot. But
another beauty is, Kranti, that there was nothing that we could not share with him. You know, like there might be things that we couldn't share with your parents or with your friends or anything in your heart, any burden or any inconvenience. We knew that he already knew. It's like, as you said, no, like he made us understand that there's nothing that he does not know because he's the one in our heart. He made us understand, he made us recognize that he is the one in all of our hearts. And anything that happens in our heart, any thought we get, any feeling we get, or any emotion we go through, or any difficulty we go through, it comes only after he knows about it, and he's a witness of everything.
Yes.
So, and you know, there was nothing that we could not share with him.
Yes.
It's like, you know, like in Christianity, they have these churches where, you know, like all these, I mean, where, you know, like people, I mean, believers, they go, they have this confession box where if they have done some wrong, or if they have done something not so pardonable, or they have done, I mean, they have said something, or they have gossiped about somebody, whatever inconvenience or whatever trouble they have in their mind, they just want to confess. They have this confession box where, you know, like a priest sits there and listens to all the confessions and blesses you, saying, okay, God will forgive you, don't repeat it and all that. Nangaru was like, we needn't even confess with our mouth. We know that he's a witness even before we spoke or we acted on anything. The beauty with Nangaru, this is one thing I would really want to signify here, is we knew he was our witness even before we spoke or before we took any action in our life.
Exactly.
So there was nothing that we are hiding from him. So it's like we are an open book to him. We know that he knows everything. So whatever we did in his presence, no matter where we were.
Mm.
That is why
even in dream.
Yes, even in dreams. So I think that is why we are all more free, because he made us understand whatever happened through the body was destiny. He has trained us, directed us, guided us, saying what is past is past. And what is future is not in your hands. What is present is the now, and learn to live in the present. You build a wall to your past, because the past is not going to fetch you in any way.
Yeah.
And don't plan. I mean, you don't have to, you know, like dream of the future, or you need to not build castles in the air for future, because your whole life is predetermined. That doesn't mean you will not make an effort. That doesn't mean you will not work. You will work like worship. You will do your work as if it's worship, but at the same time, you will not, have this, you know, filled with desires for materialistic life. You will be living a life of contentment, a life of no regret, a life where you are doing your work with utmost attention and awareness, and you're doing it for your benefit and for the benefit of others. So your very way of thinking, your action, everything changes because of the beauty and guidance and the love that he had showered, and he directed and guided us in, you know, like, if you live this way, this is the benefit you get. If you live this way, this is what you will achieve. And if you do not do so, what it will lead to.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, what keeps you happy and what makes you sad? So, don't do things that will make you worry. Don't do things that will make you sad. Live in such a way that it keeps you sane and happy and peaceful, and also people around you peaceful. So, I mean, of course, the whole of Bhagavad Gita was that. All the saints and masters had come on earth to preach us the same thing. But the beauty and exclusiveness of Nana is in the way he imparted the knowledge to us. I mean, here we need to acknowledge this, Kranti, that, as you've been telling that from almost 1.5 hour now, that he was such a beautiful master. He did not give us any pain in the training. Generally, you know, like, even the smallest of trainings are very painful. Any training is painful, Kranti, actually. I mean, if you have to wake up in the morning at 4 o'clock and do all the rituals, like, there are many, many masters who, you know, like, teach you a lot of disciplines in life, you know, from morning to night, you will have a lot of discipline. You will have meditations to do, you will have chantings to do, you will have, I mean, yoga to do. You have so many things to do to keep your body and mind under control.
Yes.
But Nana taught us that if you understand, I mean, if you have this faculty of understanding and receiving what he's speaking in the right way, 90% of your sadhana is easily done with understanding itself.
That is true. And one thing he did for people who can't understand, he worked inside them to have that understanding. We always talk about this in our satsang, that when we look back 20 years or 10 years from now to what happened, look back, where we were to where Nanagaru had brought us in terms of understanding on the spiritual aspect of it, or the life of it, you know. He's done a tremendous work for everyone. It's not that we were able to grasp it. It's that he made, you know, all that change in us.
Obviously, no, obviously. Because, see, we wouldn't understand a thing if it was not told us in the right way. So it was not only the telling in the right way, it was like both theory and practicals, no? Like, for instance, Kranti, like, when I was doing my dental course, like, Nangaru, I mean, we were listening to him, we felt we had surrendered completely to him. It was like he was everything, nothing else mattered, the relationships did not matter, our education did not matter, Nana was enough. I mean, it was like, Nana is enough, I don't need anything in life. Even coming to that point in life, you know, like, everything feels so easy, and we feel, okay, we have surrendered ourselves completely to Nanagaru, so there's nothing else we need to think in life. And that was the stage when Nanagaru said, okay, everything is given, everything is given, and everything is the will of the God. You have to understand this at your heart level, not just at speech level or the mind level. You have to understand in the heart that whatever, I mean, be it your education, be it your wealth, be it your beauty, be it your goodness, be it your character, be it, you know, like, any good thing in your life is a gift of God. It's not your own.
Yes.
Everybody have had it. Why not everybody did not have it? Like, each one has a different gift. So, you acknowledge that this is the gift of God, and I have nothing as of mine here. And also, and everything is the will of God. So, if you understand two things, everything is given is one thing, everything is will of God. So, anything that happens in life, if you understand that it is the will of God that is happening, not the will of people or will of anything apart from God, most of your sadhana is complete, because you have surrendered yourself to the happenings of the divine.
Yes, one point here is, it helps you in your sadhana. Not only that, you know, at least it helps me when I'm going through any troubles in, you know, normal life, anything that hurts or, you know, gives me so much pain, when I do, everything happens at God's will and God's will alone. This is my mantra that I do. And so, anything that's hurting me, if I do this, the situation is not taken care of, but the pain or the suffering that I'm going through is gone. The situation remains and I'll still go through that, but that I have in, you know, my mind or heart or whatever, that pain is taken away by chanting this.
So beautiful, no? See, that's what, Kranti, that's what I was trying to tell Liz. Like, he said, understand this at heart. At that point of time, I thought I understood it. That was long ago. You know, I was just a student then. But later on in life, as you said, when the vasanas are brought up through situations, we see, there are many times we think that we are done with everything. No, it's all so peaceful. We are so filled with joy and happiness. And suddenly something happens and it's like a stone thrown in a quiet lake. Suppose you're very peaceful with yourself. You have nothing to attribute anything to. Reasonless happiness, reasonless peace you're enjoying within yourself. And suddenly a situation or somebody's talk or somebody's behavior will be like, you know, throwing a stone in a peaceful pond. And suddenly you have ripples. Suddenly you have this reaction in your mind. And then you realize, oh, I haven't totally surrendered yet. No, what you thought in theory, yes, I understood the whole point. I understood the whole subject. And then the practicals, you know, like he brings up the practicals in your life where you face incidents where you're not really at peace with. But I, you know, like, of course, each one of us have realized that once you face it, once you have gone through your practicals, it's much more joy than the joy of listening and thinking you have understood. The subject that you have put into practice has brought double the amount of joy.
Yes. And one thing, Akka, here that I want to mention, when we go through situations or hard times like that, or, you know, unexpected things that we don't like to happen or happens, or, you know, someone whom we love say something, or you have put a lot of effort into something and someone takes it away saying as if nothing. You know, anything that happens that may hurt us for that moment a lot, for maybe a couple of days, and we may not be able to come out of that thing for 2-3 days. But slowly what Nanagaru has done is the duration or the intensity of that pain maybe stays for a day or two. But after that, he made us understand that, be able to see why that happened, what happened, and what balahinata, weaknesses or attachments or things that we have. That he was working through that, and, you know, unless he puts us through a situation like that, we won't be able to willingly come out of it.
First instance, we will not know that there was this in within us. Once that, you know, like when once that's kindled within and it reflects in our mind, then we see it. Like, you know, it's like seeing on a projector, no? This, it's reflected on the screen. It's so big. And then yes, as you said, no? The love.
Yes, exactly. And let it go. That's a process he's working through. Why I want to say this is, whenever some of us or any one of us is going through hard time, don't be sad at why, you know, God has put me through that. You may have that pain for a day or two, but after that, he also gives us that strength to understand why happened, what happened, and what weakness he has liberated or let us go through, let it go.
And also, no, there's also this another concept, no, Kranti, like, this is 100% true. There is another concept to it that, like, whatever we have done knowingly or unknowingly in our past, I mean, see, we are answerable for everything we do. You know, like, as long as we identify with the body, as long as we think this is me, this body mind intellect complex, the BMI complex, is as long as we identify with that, we keep doing things aapadinchukuntam antaru kada Kranti, like we
impose
it on ourselves. We think we are the doer, or the others are doing it. It's like we impose it on ourselves, we impose it on others that this is, I am doing this and they are doing that. So this separateness, as long as we have the separateness, as long as we identify with our form and name, we tend to do a lot of things which will accumulate as pollution inside. So our goal is to get rid of all this BMI complex, that I am so and so, I am this body, I am this mind, this factor, to eliminate this factor, all the subject, all Guru's love, all his training, worst to raise above the body mind complex.
Yes.
So as long as you think this is me, we keep doing things, and everything which you did with identification will come back to you multifold. Maybe we have forgotten what we have done, but this is the law of karma, no? Like, as long as you identify with the name and form, definitely karma accumulates and karma will be implemented. So whatever karma is coming is not which you did not invite. It was your invitation.
And sometimes I feel that whatever we did in this life, Nanagaru doesn't want to give us a next birth, so he make us suffering. Not suffering. Realize that.
And also,
so next time, anything you want to do,
No, that's right. No, he says measure. See, now are you happy or not? If you are not happy, what is causing your discomfort? What is causing your unhappiness? If not for your mind, is there anybody or anything that can stop you from being happy or peaceful with yourself? It's just your mind playing its games. It's just your mind playing its trick. It's just your mind making you think negative about everything. That is why, that's why he has built up so much foundation. Because unless you have a foundation, you cannot overcome this feeling that I am the body, Kranti.
Yes,
because our whole lives we spend, many lives we've been spending thinking this form and this is me, this is me, this name is me, this form is me. So it's a long-standing conditioning which we will not overcome overnight. It is a practice through lot of Guru's love, his guidance, his subject, and a little of our effort to, our effort is just to let him do what he's doing. It's not a great thing that we can do anything by ourselves. Just let him do what he's doing. And during that time, you maintain tolerance.
Yes. That also he only gives.
Be tolerant enough to you allow him to work through you.
Yes.
Because, and as you said, no, Kranti, he does it. He does it in his love, because there is impossible for human mind, to achieve anything or to do anything. There could be things impossible to human mind, but there's nothing impossible to God's grace. So if only we could understand that everything is God's will, and this pride, this false pride that I'm so and so, or I have achieved so much in life, will not come when you know that it is a gift given from above. So you will utilize your gift only for the benefit of you and benefit of others, rather than make it a point of pride or increasing your ego.
That is true, Akka. Anytime anything that happens, not only a sad thing, when happiness also happy, things also happen, remembering and saying this is also according to your will, God's will. So that gives us a balance, how we react to things, be it a happy thing or a sad thing, that he has imparted on us slowly.
And the balance of a balance of positive and negative. Whenever we have a negative thought, we immediately understand that no, this is not what you are. This is not what you're supposed to think. Suppose some you know, like most of the time we are positive about life, we are positive with people, we try to talk positive, we think positive, but there are times when you doubt, or when this negativity creeps in, and then it takes away your happiness instantly, and you realize, no, this is not my true self.
Yes,
because
that is true.
Though you are not the mind, it is a tool to take you to the truth. Though you are not the body and the mind, your body is an instrument and your mind is a tool for you to look within and travel within and uplift yourself spiritually. You will have to use these tools to get there.
Yes.
Because
that's
we are conditioned. Because we are conditioned now. See, Nangar also, you know, like he, in an example, I mean, like it's not an example, it's a true incident where one man comes to Bhagwan. He's a lawyer. He comes to Bhagwan and he asks, is it one or two? Directly he questions Bhagwan, tell me Bhagwan, is it one or two? What would we expect Bhagwan to say? One only, no? See, generally, Bhagwan all his life spoke that nothing but oneness. There's nothing apart from you. I mean, there's nothing apart from God. There's nothing apart. It's only oneness. But when this lawyer had asked, is it one or two? Then Bhagwan did not say one, he said when. Bhagwan asked the lawyer when. Then the lawyer said now. Lawyer said now. Then he said, then it's two. Why?
That much clarity.
Yeah, that much clarity, Kranti. Because, see, it is oneness only. Yes, it is one. There's no second, it's only one. Truth is one. And what is separate is delusion, okay? But when the man asked, is it one or two, Bhagwan asked when, because the condition that the lawyer is in, he's in duality. He's conditioned to his name and form. He hasn't experienced the truth and he hasn't experienced oneness. So from his point of view, it is not one, it is two. He is there, other side he is there, world is there. The day he gets erased and the day he experiences the truth, then it is one. Till then practice is a must, Kranti.
Yes, Akka. Every aspect of it is needed. And that's what Nanagaru has given for us, not to react for things, every single thing, not to react, and he imparted that calmness or to separate ourselves from the situation or what's happening and be able to look at it to an extent, if not 100%, but to an extent.
Like, you know, Abraham Lincoln says, no, slow and steady. I'm a slow walker, but I shall not look back. Maybe we might not progress in leaps and bounds, but we will be in the right path. It's okay because he is working through us as is required. He's working through us as it is required. So everything happens in its own time. He's told this many times. Everything happens in its own time. So even if you hurry or worry, it's not going to be bestowed on you unless you are ripe enough to receive it.
Exactly. And so, you know, each and every one of us, Nanagaru, is doing that.
Because he's already lit the flame, Ra. I mean, he's already lit the flame of truth in our hearts. It's just that whatever the vasanas that are coming up will be burnt away slowly. It is burning. The lamps are lit by Nana to all within all our hearts. He has made us a channel of his light. It's just that all the rubbish that exists within, I mean, like all the vasanas or whatever in the mind, the light is already lit. It's just a matter of time where all the vasanas get burnt away.
Yes, that is true, Akka. And you know, He is working through several ways and forms. Like, you know, this satsang has been very helpful because, you know, whatever so many words, I mean, all devotees are saying what interactions they had with Nanagaru. And some questions and some things Nanagaru has said, you know, is apt for that moment for the listeners that are listening. One example is that we had retreat in US, and at the time, one day in that retreat when that Sunday satsang was happening with Nallakunta Lakshmanti and the Padma Aunty. Padmagaru. So that day I was crying unstoppable. I don't know why tears are coming from all that satsang through.
Tears are coming through. We were all having versus satsang together. And then all of us, you know, like we just kept crying because it was tears of it's tears of blessing and joy and a gratitude, I think. I mean, it was gratitude, tears of gratitude where we all intensely felt his grace and love.
Yes, that is true, Akka. And the other angle aspect of it, for me, I was crying and I don't know why I was crying and I could not stop it. And I hate myself while I was crying, that I don't like myself and I was crying. And I could not understand why I was crying and why I was feeling like that. So at the end of it, Lakshmi Garu or Padma, Nallakunta Lakshmanti or Padma, someone said that Nanagaru asked once that to them that Nen ante ento telsa, do you know what is I? Are you able to, you know yourself what is I? Then auntie said, you know, how can I know myself I? No, how will be able to know? She said, no. Then Nanagaru said, if you know not the true I, the, you know, ego I. If you know the ego I, then you will hate yourself and you want to run away from it.
So that's why he released it in you, make you realize that this ego is ego I is rubbish and you just don't want it anymore.
Yes. I don't know why I was crying all that day, and at the end of satsang, through their words, whatever Nanagaru said so many years was apt for that moment. And he released that. And he made me realize this is how bad the ego I will be. And, you know, this is what you need to get rid of.
Yeah. I know. he also mentions many times, it's like a broomstick is better than your ego because broomstick at least helps you cleanse the house. Your ego only destroys everything.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been listening. Kranti, we've been listening. We've been thinking we understand. But as you said, when you experience it in your heart, when you realize that this is the sin, this is the unwanted thing, this is the pollution that is drifting away from our true nature and from our true peace. If he makes us see it, you know, it's like he will magnify it and make it appear in front of you that this is the ghost that is haunting you. There's nothing outside you. And you realize, it's not the world I should get rid of. It's not the people that I should get rid of. It's the ghost in my head, my own ego that I have to get rid of.
That's 100% true, because it's nothing, no wrong person in the world. It's my mind, that egoistic mind is what is having all these filthy thoughts, bad thoughts, or, you know, making other people look bad and all that. It's just everything is within you. He magnified it and showed that.
And the beauty of the incident you spoke now, Kranti, is so inspiring, because after the satsang started, they were speaking the satsang, but internally Guru was working through you and he brought it up in you and you started crying and you didn't know why you were crying. Then you realized that this is the ego is something which you didn't want, and you hated it and you didn't want it. And then you didn't even know why this was happening. And in the end, again in the satsang itself, within the time of the satsang itself, he made you realize it. he explained it in words through auntie.
Yes.
That, yes. Yes. Because your ego is such a useless thing, and that is the thing you should get rid of. And so when you realize that you are true and beautiful, the true self is beautiful, love, grace, you will realize how sick and stupid your, you know, false I ego is.
Mm-hmm.
He made you cry, he made you realize this is the problem, he made you want to run out of it, and then finally he clarified it.
He explained it and he subtitled my tears. That's it. Whatever is happening, the inner struggle inside me just stopped because he gave me the answer. He made me experience, he explained me what it is, he made me feel how bad it is.
No, it's like, you know, it's a practical therapy.
Yes. And that's the love, Akka. That's the love he, you know, showered, you know, through every aspect of it. Another thing is the radio, 24-hour radio, is like Nanagaru. Nanagaru being available on phone, I would say, because anything that happens to us or whatever we are going through for that moment, you switch on the radio and it happens. Yeah. I'll just give an example. So one day I had a disagreement with, something upset has happened, and I shouted at my husband, without a reason for something else. And I was so upset and angry. So then I thought that everyone is saying that radio helps address your present situation. Let me turn on the radio to get peace of mind. So I started. Okay. And the first sentence Nanagaru was saying there is, how would I know what all I said when I was in anger? Ask the other side of the person. He would tell what all, bad things I have said. Because I was in angry. నాకెలా తెలుస్తుంది వాడిని ఏం తిట్టానో తిట్టిన వాడిని అడుగు తెలుస్తుంది కోపంలోని. సో దాట్ స్టార్టింగ్ వెన్ ఐ స్టార్టెడ్ ద ట్యూన్ ద రేడియో ఆర్ టర్న్ ఆన్ అండ్ హీ సెడ్ యాంగర్ ఈజ్ సంథింగ్ దట్ స్పాయిల్స్ అవర్ బ్రెయిన్ అండ్ దట్ డిస్టర్బ్స్ అవర్ మెంటల్ స్టేట్ వాట్ విల్ ఎ మెంటల్ పర్సన్ విల్ డూ even though he has a lot of money, status and wealth. A person who is mentally ill, can't do anything with like that. Like that, no matter how much you have in your life, if you get anger and if you lose control, it's of no use. It spoils our brain and our intellect and all that. So it's very important not to spoil, not to get anger. So first he addresses the initial cause of it. And then he comes to the next, the root cause why I got upset. What it is he said, Tyagaha. Tyagaha means, and he said, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa told that Tyagaha means not giving money or, not sacrificing the external things. We think that our body and our mind are I. So sacrificing the body bound I and sacrificing that, whatever
mind.
We think
of me and mind. Yeah, yeah.
Me and mind. Sacrificing these two is tyagaha. Like, for example, you may have a land or you may have a house or whatever. And, a lot of people think that, that land must have been gone through so many people and everyone thinks it's mine.
Yes, true.
And from there, a lot of things come, which is attached to the body. And that's what causes all these things to you. So sacrificing the body bond, I will liberate you from all those. Yes. And my problem, is that is where my root cause has arisen for, being very upset. So he addressed the second part. So it's like you said once, remember, first he calms our mind. And then he tells what needs to be told to, get it into our brain.
Yeah, get it into us, making us, analyze it, understand it, and overcome it.
Exactly. First, we can't understand if we have the same emotion, the anger.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
first,
yes,
we subscribe
yes.
it, whatever the situation we are in.
Yeah.
We,
it cools yes, down. Cools down. I mean, it's like giving you a chocolate and, you know, pacifying yes. you. Telling you,
yes.
okay, now you have something to eat and let us calm down, give you some space and time, and then slowly make you understand by his complete love and, you know, like... That's what the beauty here, Kranti, is the way Nana presents it to us. The
yes.
way he pacifies us, because when you're reacting, you're
not even a mother can do, Akka. Not even a mother can do like that.
No, I mean you can't even. Yeah, it's like you can't even compare him with anybody because he is beyond ego, right? He is the truth himself.
Mm-hmm.
Even mother,
mm-hmm.
though she loves us, she also has ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because see, even if, of course, mother loves us, I mean, her love is included with an attachment, right? Attachment, because it's
yes.
body bound. It's again body bound.
Yes.
But
yes.
his love is, I mean, beyond everything, right? It's universal.
Yes.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
and soul belongs to him. So we have, truly we have arisen from him only. I mean, the ego also has arisen from the heart, from the source, no? Like from the true I only. So he knows us like nobody else. He knows in and out of us. He knows how we evolved. He knows what vasanas we have accumulated over time. He knows how we have accumulated them, and he knows how we have to get rid of them. So he is a master. He is a doctor. He is his medicine is everything. That's why he says, no, like your guru is not only your doctor, he's your medicine also.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is true.
He is a sugar-coated medicine where he doesn't...
Sugar-coated medicine, exactly.
He doesn't make us feel the bitterness of sadhana.
Yes, yes. He takes us through, he makes us realize, and he keeps it for a few moments, and, you know, he takes us to a point what is needed, where, you know, how to come out of it.
True.
And, you know, for everyone, you know, anything we feel in, you know, as Nanagaru, at least after his body, he left his body, he, any time we get a bit of a doubt also, he assured that he is right next to us, or not even right next to us, within our heart. Once I had a dream in the night that I have gone to Nanagaru, I mean, he made me realize that I don't have to be a person, or you don't have to meet me in my body, or, you know, be a person to, you know about what is happening. So in that dream, I was so sad, heart full of sadness, that I have come and went for a discourse of Nanagaru, and he's having a discourse there. So I was thinking how to tell her all the sadness to Nanagaru, and how can I tell him, and how can I get liberated out of it. I went, and as if Nanagaru was waiting, he waved a hand at me and he called me. So I went to the stage and I sat. There are not many people have come, maybe 10-15 people, and the meeting has not started. So he was asking me every single thing. How are you? How is your husband? You know, kids, that mother, sisters, and all that. He was mad, and I did not get a chance to tell him the sadness I have in my heart.
Hmm.
And the meeting has started. Then I thought, okay, I would never get a chance to, I would not get a chance again to talk about it. I was so sad, and I left for that day. And night I slept. Next day morning I went to Nanagaru, and he was in a temple, Ishwara temple. And we were taking 3 rounds around the Nandi. And, you know, first round he appeared like Bhagavan in his 20s and all that. Second round in second round in 50s like Acharya. And third round when we took, he appeared how he was in 80 years of age. But after, and I was, all these 3 rounds I was taking, I was still sad that I was not able to tell him what is in my heart and how can I take that sadness away. So once we took the third round, and, you know, I was just doing namaskar to Nanagaru, and all of a sudden, whatever the sadness, sorrow, everything that is in my heart has gone. And, you know, he made me realize that I know what you're feeling, sadness, and, you know, he took that away. It's it, you know, I must have thought it would have been dream and let it go. But once I woke up, for the next 24 hours, everything is that is happening around me is happening. It's like, you know, some background noise. But that shanti, the peace he has given me coming in the dream, that stayed like that. And, you know, nothing what's happening around, you know, it's just that he's listening, doing stuff, but nothing matters.
Only the peace.
You're untouched by everything. So with that incident, he said that you do not have to tell me by words, or you do not have to meet me to tell, you know. I know what's happening. Without even talking, I can take the sorrow or whatever you have in your heart, I have the capacity to take it out. So that's the assurance giving. I mean, it's not for me. I'm just telling for the devotees, you know, if anyone has temper.
It will be taken away. It's just a matter of time. I mean, you just, a small prayer. I mean, like, that also happens, you know, Granthi. As you said, see, now I have a thorn in my feet. If I have a thorn in my feet, it's constantly causing me pain and I want to get rid of it. Similarly, the pain in your, the pain in whatever pain you're going through, he knows it, and you want to get rid of it. So you make an effort to get rid of it. You pray to your guru, and then he knows it because he's the one within. He knows what you're going through, and then he just waits for an opportunity and he just removes it for you.
That is true. Yes. And second thing he made me realize, Akka, through that incident is, so when you ask, you only get what you want.
Yes.
If you don't ask, he takes away the pain and, you know, he also bestows you with jnanam or, you know, the...
I mean, it's that, like that, if you ask something, he could only give you what you ask. If you do not ask for anything, if you do not seek anything, you're just content. You're content with whatever God gives, and you're content with whatever is happening around you, because you understand that it's the will of God. He has no choice but to bestow you with jnana, because he's waiting for somebody who is desire-free.
Yes,
the moment you become desire-free, he's ready to bestow you with it.
Yes.
So all this process and is just to make you desireless.
Yes. Make you desireless and make you free from the bondage that you have. Yes. A lot of bondages we have come with, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we accumulated a lot.
Yes.
And it's in lifetime unimaginable that we cannot get rid of them. Only His grace. And He make us realize.
One bond.
Yes.
We can't get rid of even one bond, Rakranti. Yeah,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
He shows it, he makes us realize the difficulty of having it, he will show us how it is an obstacle for our peace, and then after we realize the worthlessness of it, he will make us drop it.
After we realize the worthlessness of it, and one more thing, after we realize that we can't do anything about it.
Absolutely. We surrender to Him and say, please, I can't do this.
Please,
erase this for me.
And then that goes away within moments.
Seriously, Granthi, the other day, no? Like this, a similar situation, no? We come across a lot of things, no? Like, that too, when He's working on you, you will know the intensity of how He drills things out of you, no? So, it's something like that. Some situation where I was like, not totally at peace. So instantly, because I am generally used to being at peace with myself. So that moment, I instantly got this verse, Maya Vishamupatti, Talakekki Chedu Munne Karuna Pattasagubibu Bro Arunachala. I mean, see how the automatic divine action works, no? I mean, the moment you realize that you are taken away from your peace because of one thought or one unwanted you know, like, it's just an unwanted thought only, you know, which you'll cling to, and it'll make you feel which will take you away from your actual true peace. So, the moment that has arisen, I was like, instant ga, this verse has come up. Maya Vishamupatti, Talakekki Chedu Munne, Karuna Pattasagubibu Bro Arunachala, and I went to sleep. Morning, I woke up like a fresh new flower. did it even happen? Did I really lose my peace? So I'm like,
that is so true.
No, the moment I woke up fresh and I again reminded, I mean, the verse remind, I mean, repeated itself in me. Maya Vishwapatti Talakitunna Karunapatti Vasukapuram Marunachala. I slept with it, I woke up with it, I'm like, where is it? Where is the poison? It's all gone away.
And the beauty of it, Akka, well, whatever has happened the previous day, whatever the thought that disturbed us, when again if that thought comes also, we don't get disturbed. Yes, that is the peace he gives us.
Yeah, that's like, it's like, yeah, so true, Kranti. He plucks the weeds from our heart with root.
Exactly. And that's only possible when you are going through pain. Surrender to him. One thing he said in one of the speeches, that when you are going through anything in life and the toughest parts of life or whatever, instead of spending your moments crying or weeping or, you know, worrying about the pain or the thing that you have in life, spend those moments to pray, to remind, you know, pray to me or, you know, remind me. I'm not asking you to do, you know, push-ups or whatnot or anything like that. Just instead of crying, just pray. Remind me.
Yeah.
Yes, that is your reminding me is your duty. Praying to me is your duty, and yeah. Sending grace is my responsibility.
My responsibility. True.
I will send you the saving grace.
The beauty, you know, Kranti. Ikkada, I mean,
yes,
here,
yes.
The beauty is the moment a disturbing thought arises, you are reminded of the verse. And
yes.
I mean, how much under his care, love and guidance are we?
Yes, Akka. Every moment of it.
Yeah. So when you realize that his love dominates your life, his love dominates
yes.
your very living, your very actions, your very relationships, everything is dominated
yes.
by his love, you have no choice but to lose. I mean, you are losing your ego self slowly, I mean, without even you recognizing that you are losing it.
Yes.
It's like,
and when situations happen, it's very important to realize who is your anchor when you go through it.
Yes, yes.
And if it is him and him alone, he
you're
not
done.
Only takes that away.
You're done. You're beautifully done.
Yes. Yes.
All conflicts, all nonsense, only till then. Once you know your anchor is him, you have nothing else here to do or to struggle. It's over,
yes.
Kranti. And
yes.
we are totally
yes.
in his love, surrender to him. He is just acting through you as well as incidents around you, and you will, you know, even when the incident is happening, you will understand that it's his
yes.
play, and you will laugh at it rather than cry.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you know it
that
is he
true.
Enacting. I mean, once this understanding opens up in our heart, we realize that through each person, he is only playing a role to keep you entertained.
Exactly, Akka. And that will release us from whatever the feelings we have towards other people,
yes,
because we stop
exactly.
seeing that. We start seeing it as a play.
You said no. You said no. See, in your satsang, you have
yes.
said that till then I did not know. I was only externally looking at life. But the day
yes.
I experienced in my dream or in your sleep, it's not.
Yes.
It's not a dream.
Yes.
It's not sleep. You have awakened yourself. I mean, you. You have become awake from the illusion of
yes.
duality, and you realize
mm-hmm.
it's the same energy, it's the same Shakti which is working through all bodies, and body is just an appendage for the Shakti.
Mm.
But the Shakti is
yes,
the same in everyone, and it is the one in your heart. So this realization
mm.
will dawn on you, and then you will start looking at everything as just a play, and that's when your life becomes joyful, Kranti.
Yes, yes, Akka.
That's when
and
you
always, yes, free of worries, and you always yearn for that. You know, yeah. Anything you get in life, you won't be happy because you start comparing this with.
Yeah. No. I think when once you are totally done, you become like the child, which Jesus says, no, you become like the child.
I think I got disconnected. Yeah. Anything that happens in your life or anything that looks big, then you start comparing that with this, and this is nothing in front of that. And that is how you start disregarding.
Yeah, you start disregarding and you start enjoying
Hello?
It, no? Like, yeah. Hello, I can hear you, Kranti.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, I can hear you.
You're not disconnected.
Yeah.
So it's like you become like a child where you will learn to live by the moment. We read in books, we talk about living in the present, but you will become the experience itself that you will find joy in every moment that you're living.
Yes, Akka.
Because you're not clinging to your past, you're not clinging to the future, you're not clinging to your body, you're not clinging to the mind, you're not clinging to the world, you're not clinging to anything but being yourself.
Yes, that is true, Akka. And, you know, few of the things that help me in this journey are, you know, some few sentences. It's like one, is like, no one, there is no free will for anyone.
Yeah, true.
So the moment you can realize that, the moment you can realize that there is no free will, then any person acting in your favor or causes you pain, you will be able to, you know, forgive or disregard that, you know, that part of it. Because what is there to get anger there? You know, that's one thing that helps me. Anytime anything that is happening, you know, in my life, then, you know, this is what I realize and this is what I remember. When I remember that, whatever the sadness, painness, anger or anything that I have, you know, that automatically subsides.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And second thing, anytime anything happens, everything happens at God's will. That's the second thing that helps me overcome any situation in life.
Mm.
And third thing, we have free will only in one thing, how we react to things. We do not have free will on prarabdha that we have on our body or incidents that happen in our life or anything. The free will we have is how we react to those things. That is whether we look at it as, you know, whatever God has been doing, because people are not at free will to do, and everything is predetermined. So those are the things that helps me immensely when I, you know, get through the situations or in encounter situations.
Yeah.
I've taken so much time already, 9:00.
No.
So.
Yeah, I think you haven't taken much time. You are exactly on time.
I'm done, Akka. So that's all.
Yeah. I mean, the time is over and you're done. It's all, you know, in sync.
Yes.
So it was very nice connecting to you, Kranti. It didn't matter if it was video or audio, because the content was important and it was a very beautiful sharing. And I'm so happy I connected to you today. Thank you so much, Kranti. We will keep connecting again.
Thank you.
We will inspire ourselves and others and get rid of what is all nonsense and which, you know, like, you can't run away from it. You will have to dissolve it.
Yes. And thank you so much for giving, you know, the opportunity to share the love that
Actually, it was a very short notice for you, Kranti. It was a very short notice for you, but then it was amazing because I had this total trust that if it's Kranti, it will go well. So it doesn't matter if anybody talks or not. In the last moment, I can rely on you. thank you, Kranti. Thank you for the wonderful session. Yeah. Om Sri Nana Paramatmane Namaha.